Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and this week, as Pete Donaldson is still away in the Caribbean, having the time of his life, I'm getting so envious now. I hate him so much. We are joined by a special guest, though. The first time he's come on the Abroad in Japan podcast. I don't know how. I don't know how we've never had him on before. But welcome, the one and only Ryotaro Sakurai. How you doing, Ryotaro?
Very, very nicely well.
How come you haven't been on until now?
I have no idea. I mean, how long have you been doing this for?
4 years.
4 years. Like, and I had never been on it. You never invited me, that's it.
No. It's weird. We've even had Natsuki on, and he can't even speak English.
Oh, he's been on how many times already?
To be fair, Natsuki's been on for like 2 minutes, and then we had to pull him.
If I recall,
he started going on about socks, and it was all a bit weird. Anyway, how are you doing? What's going on?
Good. My throat is a bit bad recently.
Your throat, right, yeah.
My throat, coughing, but I'm recovering.
Very good.
Yeah, nicely well, thank you.
And who else is recovering? Chris Rock, having been slapped in the face by Will Smith. It's the only thing the world is talking about at the moment. And yeah. You told me something really interesting before we started recording. In Japan, people agree with Will Smith hitting Chris Rock.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just sort of surveyed this morning, right? Mm. And 78% of Japanese people are totally agreed upon the idea of, like, hitting someone if your girlfriend or wife get humiliated by someone.
Bloody hell. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the sort of consensus is. I think the consensus is it's okay to be angry, but to stand up and hit someone like that is not good. I am surprised, though, kind of by that, like, it was that, like, 78% of people condoned violence or just...
Yeah, I mean, it cannot be helped. If those kind of, you know, this situation such like that happens, and you're kind of allowed to do that.
I wonder if it's because, like, Will Smith is kind of popular in Japan. Everyone likes him. Everyone knows him. And not Chris Rock. I don't think he's that well known. So maybe people are much more likely to take Will Smith's side.
Probably. And then this is not something that I've read, but I heard that they did some kind of like similar survey to the Americans.
Right.
And they maybe like 30% or something, you know, just a lot lower rate of the people who actually agreed upon it. So that actually proves that Japanese people are more violent. Simply violent.
Scientific analysis. Jump straight to conclusions. Japanese people are more violent.
Violent.
Good God. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised by that. But yeah, absolutely shocking scenes, but I think we've all seen it to death right now. So we don't need to go on about Will Smith anymore. But I was shocked by it.
Yeah.
And disappointed as well to see that. But yeah, anyway, welcome, Ryotaro. Today, while you're here, I thought we would tell kind of your story, given it's your first time on the podcast. And I think a lot of our listeners don't even know Abroad in Japan. The videos. We have quite a lot of listeners who don't really know about the YouTube channel, so a lot of people might not even know who you are listening into the podcast today, weirdly.
Oh, seriously?
It's like a separate thing.
I thought it was the same thing.
It's different. The podcast It's different.
Oh, is it?
It's different, isn't it?
So different, different listeners.
Different listeners.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. All right. So people who are listening to your podcast and not totally not interested in your videos.
They're not. Yeah, pretty much. and they certainly haven't seen you.
Drunk.
Let's start at the beginning.
All right. Sure.
Where the hell did we meet? Everyone always asks me to tell the story of how we met.
Sure. And we've talked about it so many times in the videos, but maybe first time in the podcast, obviously, because I'm here for the first time. That was back in 2015.
Yeah.
I remember. There was one guy who knew you and knew me and thought we should, like, you know, just all meet and just, you know, talk about our, like, the conquering the world.
Conquering the world. I don't know if you put it that eloquently. We had a friend, what was his name?
Takei-san,
great guy. Takei-san. I haven't seen him in years, actually. I hope he's doing well. I met Takei-san at a business networking event in Yamagata, and I told him at the time, because I was in my last year of teaching English, and I told him that I was thinking of moving to Sendai, and I didn't know anyone in Sendai at the time, and he said, oh, you know, there's a guy I should put you in touch with, a guy who speaks English, a guy who thinks he's good. I think it'd be good for you to meet him. And I came to this dinner, and you weren't there.
I wasn't there. I was invited, but I somehow couldn't make it.
You couldn't make it, so it was all very anticlimactic. And we arranged to meet, I think, a few days later.
Oh, he actually forced, like, Takei-san was there, right, with you, right?
Yeah.
And so he forced that put you on the phone with me, and so we had to talk.
Yeah.
And, like, and just make an appointment. We were forced to make an appointment by Takei-san. And he was that, like...
Adamant,
to get us hooked, and I don't know, maybe I spoke English British with a British accent.
Well, I remember when I spoke to you on the phone the first time, I thought you were a British guy. I thought, oh, it's just someone from London.
Some London.
So it was a bit weird. I hadn't really met anyone with that strong sort of London accent,
right?
Who's actually Japanese? Yes. Something you're very smug about. Of course. But like, yeah, so...
About a month later or something?
No, we met like 2 days later.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Glad you remember this beautiful origin story. We met and had sushi, and then you told me about your life, and...
And told me about your life as well. Yeah.
My life story was, I taught English, here I am. Your story went on for like 4 hours, and I'm sure we'll hear some of that today.
Because I'm a little bit older.
A little bit older.
More experience.
Yeah, under exaggeration. but you met there, and I sort of said that I wanted to live in Sendai, and you said, oh, yeah, you should do it, yeah. And
you should do it, yeah. Like.
And then...
And you were like, oh, I'm a YouTuber, so I want to be a YouTuber, real YouTuber. I was like, I'll make you one.
What are you on about? Now I remember why he's not come on the podcast before. And anyway, I moved to Sendai, and we didn't do that much together at first. We did a video at a really nice ryokan, our first video together.
Yeah.
And then we did another one skiing.
Yeah.
But we did a video, like one video a month or so, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that was actually a lot.
I guess,
to begin with, I guess.
And then from there, you know, the channel grew, Ryotaro became popular, and we sort of turned into a travel channel, the Abroad Japan channel.
Yeah, but like, don't forget that I was not going to. It was not planned to appear in your video at the first place. I was more like a coordinator, because I knew people in Yamagata, I knew people I knew in Tohoku. That's why I can just hook you up with these people and give you some ideas of, like, you know, what's going on in the area. So like, just, you know, just film whatever you feel like.
Ryotaro just wanted to get his friends a free video, basically. He makes it sound like he did me a massive favour. He basically just got a free video for his friends.
And then, like, in our first video, the Yamagata, the Ryokan and the Yonezawa beef video, I was like, why don't you just, you know, come out in front of camera and just, you know, start speaking.
I felt like it'd be quite a good dynamic, you know, to have someone on camera with me and... You know, and it worked, unfortunately. And you've been here ever since. How many videos have you been in on Abroad Japan?
I have no idea, like 30 videos or something like that.
I think I worked out once the videos you'd been in had been watched by like 100 million people or something.
Oh, shit.
response.
There were like the videos that I just worked as a cameraman.
The Fukushima documentary.
Yeah, exactly. There were some videos that I thought... the Chris should be the one that's only appearing. Because, I mean, me and you being together in one video, like it becomes like a comedy, almost like. So it would, right, yeah, wouldn't fit in the documentary or such, you know.
Yeah, I for the Fukushima documentary, where we went through the exclusion zone, I felt you annoying me wouldn't be appropriate for the moment.
Or the Love Hotel.
Love it. Oh yeah, you were.
Love Hotel. I kind of stuck myself in, you know, just I thought I should be the cameraman. I mean, imagine me and you being Love Hotel, like just shooting each other.
Sends the wrong kind of message.
Exactly. So I was sticking to myself being a cameraman there.
So it's been what, five, six?
Six years. But this is our sixth year. Yeah.
And you've got your own channel now.
Yeah, I do.
Ryotaro's Japan. And speaking of Fukushima, you've just come back from Fukushima, right?
I did.
What have you been doing there?
I was filming. I just released the video.
And, yeah, I saw.
Yeah, yeah. About the farmer. Not really a farmer. The lady who's making a kind of peach product. Collaborating with the farm, like peach farmers. And also one guy who's a fish shop. How do I say it? Fish shop?
Fishmonger.
Yeah, yeah. The owner. Yeah, fishmonger. And he's like a fourth generation owner. He's like only 26 years old. And I just wanted to ask him, you know, what would it be like to kind of come back to Fukushima and where it's got a kind of reputation.
Well, I mean, how has the Fukushima situation affected the fishermen, basically?
Still. Obviously, there is the water from the nuclear power plant. It's been, like, it will be released. It started being released this year. Mm. And obviously, the fishmonger, fishermen, of course, will be affected by that. Because, you know, even though the national government is, like, saying, oh, safe. Mm. And it might be safe, number-wise.
Sure.
But obviously, that's quite different from how people are feeling. You know, whether they want to buy or not, it's a different story. So people are really worried.
I read something really interesting the other day that for the first time since, I think, 2011, since the earthquake and tsunami and nuclear meltdown, the Japanese public are in favour, a slight majority is now in favour of nuclear energy, which I never thought would happen again after Fukushima, right? Because after that, everyone, all the nuclear power stations, in Japan were shut off, right? After that incident, and Japan became a lot more reliant on Middle Eastern oil and gas to its detriment. But I never thought people would be in favour of nuclear power again. Why do you think there's been a change?
Well, there's been like earthquakes recently, right? And some areas in Japan had to experience some, like, you know, power outage and stuff like that. And that was due to the fact that many of our nuclear power plants are not working anymore.
Right.
So with it working, we've never had that.
True.
So people are like starting to rethinking that we should have, if as long as it's safe, there are, like, you know, like you said, a slight, more, a little bit more than the majority of the people are now thinking to have one. It's okay.
Because there's been power outage.
Yeah, power outage and also, like, you know, and also the war, of course. And so
The war. Oh, right, yes.
The oil. Oh, God, like, you know, it's going up in the price.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, and also the carbon. You know, obviously you need to burn the coal to get the power, and obviously it's not really good for the air.
It's going to be a big shift when they switch them all back on.
Exactly. But
I never thought I'd see the day. But back to you. I think so many people don't know your story and your journey, which is a pretty rare journey for a Japanese person to have, traveling the world. I thought it'd be interesting to understand what made you the one and only Ryotaro.
How did we, like
a villain origin story. How were you created? Because you've lived. What were you going to say?
How was I created?
In the fires.
My mother and father.
In the fires of Mount Aso, forged from steel and sausages. choking to death. He's dead.
Yeah, I'm dead.
You've lived in everywhere. You've lived in America, the UK, Germany, Australia.
Yeah.
I think I've got them all. You say Spain. You've been to Spain briefly. You haven't lived there, have you?
No, I did, actually.
How long?
Well, 3 months.
Does that qualify as living in Spain?
Well, I think so, but it's not. Right. I was renting an apartment.
But why did you leave Japan? Usually, when people come on this show, we ask, Why did you come to Japan? Why did you
leave Japan?
Why did you get out?
Well, I was 15.
What year are we talking? 15 years old.
That's like 1989, before Berlin Wall.
Before the Berlin Wall.
That's how old it is. Yeah.
Well, you were 15 in
1989.
1989. Okay.
So I just wanted to go to the States. I wanted to go to American high school. That's what it was.
Why would anybody want that?
I don't know. Just watch it. Back in those days, there was no internet, right?
Sure.
So the only kind of means of, say, collecting the information about overseas was like movies.
Right, right.
So back in those days, there were like many, movies about like the American high school. You know what I mean? So like watching them.
Like what?
Like Footloose.
Footloose. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Well, it's not. This is not a movie, but Beverly Hills 90210.
Beverly Hills.
What?
90210. Right. I don't
know what that is. Oh, it's one of those like the TV series that, you know, and it goes on forever.
And you watched that in Japan? It was popular here.
I was watching it like while I was there, actually.
Okay.
I mean, it did not make me want to go there, but that was kind of the life that I wanted to have. In the States, that's quite different, though.
So anyway. What? So you watched Footloose one day?
Footloose, I watched Top Gun.
And thought, right, I'll go to America. Like, what?
It was like that, because, I mean, obviously, the high school life in, say, according to the movie, right?
Yeah.
High school life that I saw in the movie in the States and high school life that I was having, I would have had in Japan, was quite different.
It's a bit odd. Like, it's like me watching The Karate Kid when I'm 15 and thinking, oh, I'll go to Japan, I'll go to Okinawa and learn the secrets.
But
like, you watched Footloose,
yeah.
And not a great film. Let's not sugarcoat it. It's not a great film.
Well, it's a great film.
Some listeners are going to be livid, angry, furious that I've mocked Footloose. But like, is that it? Is that all there was to it?
No, I mean, it's like, I forgot. Like, so I was watching the Ferris Bueller's Day Off and stuff like that. But it's all high school, the stories that and I also like had an idea of like, I learned about like proms. I learned about like dance parties.
Do you not have prom in Japan?
No.
Really?
No, we don't.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I learned about? I learned about having a locker of your own.
Wow.
And I was having the desk, your like the desk.
You get a desk in Japan.
No, but that opens up.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? That opens like when you stand up.
Yeah.
And you open up, you stand up, and you sit down, and you close your... That like desk only exists in certain countries.
Like America. So
I wanted to have a locker. I wanted to have that desk. I wanted to have like I wanted to have like I wanted to see the football American football team,
right.
And I wanted to see the quarterback of the football team going out with the prettiest girl in the cheerleaders.
So you watched Footloose,
and you wanted a
desk that opened, and that was the trigger point for leaving Japan forever.
Yes, yes.
And moving to Seattle.
Yes, Seattle.
How did you? I mean. Did you speak English at this point?
No. Well, you know how bad we speak. I mean, Japanese people in general, like, you know, when you're 15, right? No one really speaks English in this country so much. It's getting better, but you know, back in 1989, just no one, absolutely. So I was like that. I liked learning English, but I was not good at it. So I went there. I was struggling. I seriously was struggling to learn English. I still remember the first book I had to read was Alice in Wonderland, and I couldn't read it.
God.
It was just so hard. It was so hard for me already.
I don't think I could read that. I'd go to sleep. Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that was it when I was 15. Then they made me read it. I couldn't read it. So as a result, what happened was that I could not. Well, I even could not understand the question of the test that I was having. So
why did Alice go to fucking Wonderland?
Why did the lid of the bottle say drink me?
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't answer any of them. So, you know, but, you know, teacher felt so sorry for me, you know, coming from all the way from Japan as a little boy, having to struggle.
Rightly so.
Trying to understand the whole, like, all these classes with a different language that, you know, from, you know, what he's, the mother tongue is. So they all gave me D's
Oh.
instead of F.
Wow. Such generosity.
But in the end, I was able to acquire all the passes, at least, right? I passed all the classes, even though, like, it was you know, it wasn't F.
So you cheated your way through the American education system.
I think I did. but I was good at math. I was good at, like, you know, some like calculations and stuff like that.
Right.
It was a lot easier for me because it was stuff that I always done in the junior high school, really.
I mean, how do your parents feel about this? This is a bit weird. Mm. It's not as if you have any friends or family over there.
No.
You've just sort of gone. And that's not normal.
After watching For Lucy, yeah.
Not many kids do that. Why did this happen? Did your parents want you to go? Were they like, on Ryotaro, leave Japan?
They didn't mind. They didn't mind at all. Like, there was someday I go, so one day I go up to my mom and say, Mom, I want to go to the States. It's like, oh, really?
I saw
how?
Footloose, Mom.
she wouldn't know. But anyway, but how can you go there? And I went to the study abroad agent and then got some brochures. And show it to my mom and say, this is what's happening in the States. And I can go to this school. I can go to this school or this school. And they're all in the place called Seattle, in a place called Washington State. Oh, my mom was like, is that the capital? No. It's in the West Coast. It's like, because of Washington State. It's not D.C. That's, you know, that was a kind of
rookie era.
That question. That I'm going to Washington State. Oh, that's capital. I had this conversation for at least like 100 times that day in 1989.
Still, I mean, you've got a brother and sister. Did they do the same thing?
I did. Yeah, they did. Like my brother actually came 2 years after me to Seattle.
Yeah.
My sister eventually, I think she did some study abroad in Shanghai learning Chinese afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we didn't all go to Seattle, but we somehow went overseas and, you know, did something.
And how long were you in Seattle before you?
3 years. Sophomore, junior, senior.
Wow. And then what happened after that? Did you decide time to come back to Japan? Take the teachings of America, the swivel desk, Footloose,
I did Footloose. I had the desk. And I actually saw our quarterback guy going out with the prettiest girls and cheerleaders. And so I think my mind was satisfied seeing that. And I did participate in the prom as well. Like,
did you
wearing
get
a
prom girl?
Yeah, I did. Like half Japanese, half French.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. She was pretty. I don't know where she is right now. But anyway,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
But so I think what I wanted to do originally before I left. So I was kind of researching what kind of, which university I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
In the States, in the beginning. But I heard, my friend told me, like, oh, so my friend, I asked my friend, like, what are you going to do after graduation? And he goes, like, oh, I'm thinking about going to a university in Britain.
Oh, right.
It's like, what? In Britain? Why? Well, there are some, like, universities in Britain. How dare you? Yeah, he's like, so they speak a different language. So they were like, what? There is a university out there that who just take the American credits, American high school credits, and you can actually get in there straight. It's like, oh, really? So I wanted to do something different. So what I did was I went into the career center of my high school and looked it up, the dictionary, right, the college dictionary, and I found like maybe five universities who would like, you know, take in the American credits, American high school credits, and I applied. One of them, and I passed.
And that was Richmond University.
In Richmond.
Oh, wow.
London.
So how old were you when you moved to the UK?
How old? 18 then. Yeah.
18.
15, 16, yeah,
so
18.
So 1992?
1992, yeah.
Right.
So I'd never been to London, so I just applied, and okay, you passed. So I just flew direct from Seattle to London. I had no idea what it was like to actually live in, you know, in Britain at all.
So bloody hell! Yeah. Were you how did it compare to America when you first got there?
Oh, it was all different because I was in the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah.
So yeah. It wasn't New York or anything. So it was more like a sunny, like a typical American, like city. It was like, you know, it's like big road with like a pavement with like a huge yard, huge like, you know. You know what I mean? Like grass yard and like a huge house with a basement and stuff. Mm. They're partying, you know, every night, like every weekend. Police comes and like people just get run away. You know, typical high school life that you see in many movies, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what was going on in Seattle when I was there. But Britain was so different. It was like all like the buildings are all different, right? They're all like, you know, stones and bricks and like they're all like they're old, very traditional. The place I was living in, like I lived in dorm. The dorm was right above the university. University used to be a church or something.
Hmm.
Yeah. And there used to be like lots of nuns or like these people like used to live.
It's quite a nice area actually. Richmond is southwest London, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah.
Quite an affluent place. Quite a rich place.
Richmond
is rich by nature.
Mick Jagger's house.
Yes.
Apartment was like maybe a minute from the university.
And who else? Tom Holland.
Yeah,
he plays Spider-Man. He lives there.
Yeah.
what did you study at university?
International business with Spanish.
Why Spanish?
The first thing I did, actually, 1989, back in 1989, right? So when I went to the States, on the second day, I started learning Spanish in the States.
Right.
That was one of the things I wanted to do in the States, apart from like learning English and like taking, you know, ordinary classes.
What movie had inspired you to learn Spanish?
I had no idea. But okay. I simply wanted to learn Spanish.
El Mariachi. I wonder what... Your entire career seems to be dominated by films, so I'm surprised there was no influence. And then you did business in Spanish, and you said you lived in Spain at some point as well.
I did. That was 3 months, during the whole summer holiday. when I was at university. I was in Barcelona for 3 months, and I was like, you know, back and forth every, say, Easter, summer holiday. I was in Andalusia, down south, yeah, the state.
Well, I mean, Ryota and I have a slightly weird connection.
Very weird.
You know, we might have, I don't know if we've talked about this before at all, but I, growing up as a kid in 1990, well, I was born in 1990, so I would have been two when you were in Richmond. But like throughout the 90s and 2000s, my my uncle had a flat in South Spain in a town called Nerja. And we'd go there, and I have lots of fond memories there. I loved it. I'm hoping to go there at some point this year as well, actually, for the first time in like 12 years. But anyway.
And that was exactly where I was studying, Spanish.
I can't remember when we discovered this, but it was quite a surprise, given how many villages and towns you could learn Spanish in or travel.
And it's a tiny village.
Yeah, there's nothing
of like 5,000 people or something.
Yeah, there's nothing overly special about it. It's a lovely town, if not a little bit touristy, but it's a lovely town, South Spain, and it was kind of random and bizarre fate that both Ryota and I should sort of be connected by this town.
Because I was there, I think I started going there from like 1991, up until say year 2000. My honeymoon was in Nerja.
Your honeymoon was there. Yeah. What year was that?
That was 2006.
I might have been there in 2006.
Yeah. I was there like every 2 to 3 years anyway.
Imagine that, if we'd walk past each other on a beach.
Exactly, like little Chris boy.
Little Chris boy, was age 16.
Yeah, yes. With like, you know, with some like meat sauce on his mouth.
Meat sauce? What is this?
Yeah, just finished Italian dinner.
Oh dear. Finally, you leave the UK.
Yeah, I did.
You've had all the meat sauce.
Yeah.
I don't even know what meat sauce is. What is that?
I don't know, just having
God
a pasta.
Damn it. So how long have you been in the UK for then?
4 years.
So slightly longer than the US.
Yeah. So graduate at university.
And how come the UK shaped your accent then?
Well, because people are so nice.
Well, you think, like, given, you know, the all-important years, your first years that you learn English, you think you would have adopted more of an American accent?
No. But yeah, I did, you know, the first 3 years, but... when I went to when I moved to this moved to Britain, the people are so nice that they all tried to correct my English to the proper way.
Oh right, yeah.
So like you go to a pub and say, can I get some fries? Like that's called chips.
So, yeah, British people, we don't like American English. It's very. Yeah, you know, understandably, you want people to speak the proper English,
proper
correct
English.
English.
So they all did correct my English. Oh, like, stop saying man. That's not appropriate in this country.
So you were bullied into submission.
Yeah, I did.
Bullied into adopting a British accent. 4 years passed though. You've lived in the UK.
Yes.
And then you moved to Germany.
Germany. I got my first job. Found.
Did you go back to Japan at all?
I did. Like summer holiday, winter holiday sometimes, Christmas holiday. Like I told you that I started learning Spanish on the second day. From the second day I arrived in the States, right?
Yeah.
Spanish was one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to learn. German was like kind of the third language I wanted to do after English and Spanish.
How good's your Spanish? How good did you become at it?
Yo hablo español un poquito, pero...
Yes.
What? You say, se me olvidaron.
Sí. Oh, but how? Are you actually fluent?
Fluent. I can talk. I can talk. But, you know, I haven't really been speaking Spanish for a long time. So it's conversational, at least.
Why didn't you move to Spain if you love it so much? Why didn't you go there after the UK?
Well, to do the business and stuff. Like, that was my. Like I said,
you're saying Spanish can't be business?
Well, it's just like German was the second language I wanted to learn after Spanish. So what I did was I went to Munich,
right,
and I started going to language school
for German.
For German,
can you speak German?
I'm missing.
What?
Ich spreche.
Oh, right, I speak
Deutsch.
It,
I'm missing. Yeah.
So you can.
Yeah. So then I went to school like for 2 months or so. Then I liked Germany, so I started looking for a job there, and I had my English CV with me.
Right.
So what I did was I went to Chamber of Commerce, the Japanese Chamber of Commerce, and each city, like Frankfurt, Hamburg, and Munich, and all these cities, and handed out my CVs.
All right.
To these people at the Chamber of Commerce. And so the companies, Japanese companies who have offices in these cities, found my CV, and I got two phone calls from these companies.
Because I guess there's not that many, you know, Japanese people in Germany are few and far between, right?
Well, Düsseldorf, for instance, it was a kind of one of the little Japan of whole Europe.
Really?
Thousands of Japanese companies were there. And many companies, like when they open office, a first office in Europe, continental Europe especially, it was always Düsseldorf.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Best ramens or best, like, you know, is like Japanese food if you find, if you're trying to find, it's always been in Düsseldorf.
It's pretty cool. I know, like, German people love Japan. I'd say there's more fans of Japan in Germany than there is in the UK to some extent.
Well, for instance, like in my channel, right, like a viewer, after, say, America and then Britain, Austria, Canada, then German.
Yeah, same for me as well.
Yeah.
People in Germany can speak English
very well. So I got myself a job at the Düsseldorf, in Düsseldorf, and I was there for two and a half years.
And then what happened?
Moved to Sydney, Australia.
Then you moved to Australia.
Yeah.
Why? What led you there all of a sudden?
I had a friend there.
With a friend, luring you away to another country.
Yeah, exactly. So why don't you come to Australia? Because I was 25, right?
Yeah.
And 25 was, like, back then, it was the last year that you could go for working holiday.
It's pretty crazy. You're 25 and at this point, you've already lived in sort of
four countries.
If we're going to be liberal and say you lived in Spain. Like, for a lot of people, you know, by 25, they've just left university. So to have lived in like three or four countries, that's pretty damn cool. You're very bloody lucky.
So it was like so casual, I think, for me to like move to. It was so difficult at all to move to another country. So my friend was like, "Oh, why don't you come to Sydney? Like, well, this is your last year in a working holiday. You can't go. You can't get a working holiday visa anymore if you're 26."
Right.
So then we're like, "Oh, okay, yeah, sure." quit my job and just go to Sydney.
What was it like in Australia?
Excellent. Just loved it.
You've told me before that Australia was your
favorite place. If Japan gets sunk or something by any reason, I would move to Australia.
God, no, because ominous thought.
Look, I mean, the countries, right, or the places that I've had moved, that I'd lived before Australia, say Seattle, rains a lot. London rains a lot.
It does.
Düsseldorf rains a lot.
It does.
Spain was good. Like, you know, amazing climate. So, I mean, but Spain, I was just there for like 3 months or so, right?
Yeah.
So, amongst these like three places, like they were all rainy places. So, why don't I just, you know, move to somewhere with nice climate? And I did. It was amazing.
Why did you ever leave Australia if it was so good?
It was my 10th year since I left Japan, right?
Yeah.
I was 15. I was already 25 when I got to Sydney. And I was working there for a year. And like, I thought, wow, this is just an amazing place. I love this country. And I was, but since it was like coming to 10th year, and like maybe until 7th year or so, 8th year or so, I was living in those countries without internet.
Yeah. Because, of course, the internet was still up and coming.
Exactly.
In the 90s.
So, meaning that I did not know anything of what was happening in Japan to them.
Ah.
So, and then I suddenly, like, I started feeling like I was kind of losing Japanese part of me. Like, identity almost like. And I was becoming somewhat like someone who's not Japanese, but not Australian either, not British. I didn't know who I was.
Sure.
So, I wanted to kind of recover the Japanese part of me.
Identity.
By moving back to Japan.
I think you came back to Japan because you realised you had a real asset that you could speak English so well. In a way that a lot of people here can't, right?
Well, yeah, I know, but
suddenly in a minority, you have a massive advantage.
Yeah, but I wasn't really sure how well I could utilise that skill or the knowledge in Japan. I had no idea. Because, I mean, I'd not, like, lived in Japan for, like, last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't really sure, like, you know, what I could have done, I could do in the country, like, when I moved back.
English teacher.
Nah.
Imagine that.
That's the worst job you could ever do.
I can't imagine you teaching anything. Yeah,
no.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So then I came back to Japan and I found myself another job in Tokyo.
And now, what is it you actually do? A lot of people always ask, what is it Ryotaro does? And
I am a YouTuber.
Yeah, you're not right. one does not simply just become a YouTuber. What do you do?
So I'm running
out my misery.
I'm running a company that promotes, especially the regional part of Japan. Mm. Not like cities, not like Osaka, not Kyoto, not Tokyo, for instance. I'm trying to put the light on. The spotlight onto these places where these cities or villages that have not been discovered by the tourists yet.
And, you know, certainly, you know, even when I got here in 2012, most of North Japan wasn't on the map, right?
No.
It was crazy. Like,
Lonely Planet said boring.
Did it?
It did, Sendai.
Well, they've changed their tune now. Didn't Lonely Planet, do a whole special award
in 2020, unfortunately people are going to come in 2020, but
yeah.
In 2020, the Tohoku, the area where we live, has been chosen as one of the three places, the areas that you should visit the whole world.
In the whole world?
In the whole world it was.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a lot of diversity here in Tohoku in terms of food, cultures,
nature.
The prefectures. I mean, because I've lived here 10 years, some of the magic of Tohoku is worn off for me, you know, if you know what I mean. Which is a shame, but I still love this part of Japan. I still think it is a very special place. But you sort of go in and help businesses, though, don't you? Prepare, or you used to, when tourism was a thing, you would help companies prepare for foreign tourists, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because you would reel me in to work with you. And be a foreign customer.
Like foreign customer. Just pretend that you're a foreign customer and say, oh, can I have a ramen, please?
just as I would say. You go in. You would go into businesses, right? Restaurants and tell them how to sort of handle foreign customers without necessarily needing to know English, right?
Yeah, not only the languages, but also the tendencies. For instance, many customers from the West are vegan. So kind of try to create a menu with the restaurants, for instance, and try to create some, the tool.
Tool.
All
right.
The travel tool.
Sure.
The special tool for the Taiwanese people, Thai people. They all have different tendencies, right?
Mm.
For instance, Taiwanese people, 1/10 of Taiwanese people are vegetarian, Oriental vegetarians.
Oh, really?
And they don't eat certain things.
Huh.
So, I kind of try to create tools with these people, the travel agency, because I know these knowledge of
Let's see how good your knowledge is. When do you think, the all-important question, one that I get asked every day, and understandably, when do you think Japan will reopen to outside tourists?
This year.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
We've narrowed it down. Yeah. I mean, I would say, 100% this year, but can we be more specific?
Well, depending on...
What is holding the government back right now?
Oh, the people wanting to wear masks all the time, right?
Right.
But... I guess because number of the people who get infected, every day, right, it's going down little by little, but very very gradual.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that it's going to be soon, but it will be sometime this year. You have to be carefully watch that number, and if that's really going down, then because national government is really wanting to open its border.
I don't feel like it is.
It is.
I don't know, I feel like they've just sort of accepted that, we can keep the doors closed and it doesn't hurt the economy that much, or it doesn't affect
the
country that much. It's good politically because people kind of want Japan to be shut. I think, if you look at studies, most Japanese people want the borders to be shut, right?
Well, I mean, when the world was when Japan, the number of infections was low, that's what people wanted. But now it's not, because, many of us have already been infected, right?
Sure.
Yeah, because the number is now, we all went high up once already. We hit the ceiling. Now it's time to go down.
Right.
So, and also people know that that some countries like Britain, for instance, or the States, people are not wearing masks anymore.
No, we got rid of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was even controversial at the time. Yeah. I think, yeah. But I mean, we hate masks in the UK.
Yeah, exactly.
I think even more so in the UK than the US. I read studies that British people are against it. We find it sort of dehumanizing and weird. Right.
Like Asian countries, like around Japan, for instance, China, Korea, Taiwan, they're still suffering. So they would come back the last, the tourists from these countries, right? Whereas, like the States, like Europe, I think these people will come the first, come to Japan first. And then according to the survey, to the Europeans, Americans, the West, Western countries, where would you want to go after the COVID is over?
Yeah.
And then the first, well, the second, Japan was second choice.
What was the first choice?
America.
Really?
Asking Europeans, Oh, but for Americans, it was Japan was first.
Yeah, and the Asians,
Japan was first. So it's always like, it's been like proved almost that when we open the border, the people will, like, I'm talking about like millions of people will come to Japan for sure.
It's going to be a quite a strange, surreal situation. I've just got back from Tokyo and I was in Ueno and Asakusa a little bit. And, you know, it's night and day. It's so damn quiet there compared to what it used to be like. That would be
2019,
the center point of tourism in Japan.
Yeah.
And it's, there's, I don't see that many foreigners around there at all. It's so surreal. But I want them back for businesses. I think it'll be good for local business.
Oh, yeah.
I want to have friends be able to come visit. I want you guys listening to be able to come visit as well.
And Japanese yen is getting weak and weak and weak.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's like, so now for everyone, like for almost all everyone who's listening to this podcast, I think it's good for you guys to come to Japan and buy stuff. It's just so cheap.
Your money's going to go a lot further.
Exactly. So, but contrary, like for my case, going abroad, it's just going to... Not really good for me, though.
When do you think you're going to go back to Neha in Spain?
Next year, I guess.
Next year. I'm going to go this year.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to take a photo of you.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird going back there.
I'll make him visit my host mother.
Your host mother?
Yeah, because I was studying there, right? So I always stayed at the this host family.
Right.
And I always like surprise her by sending like sending a spy to her place and knock on the door. God. And there's like a white guy standing, right? It's like, and it's showing my picture, the photo on a smartphone saying like my photo. And it's like, amigo.
I'll film it. Me getting
Me
getting assaulted by a Spanish woman.
Like,
who's like,
"Who are you?
Why are you here at my door?" Yeah, it's gonna frighten the life out of her. But thank you for coming today, Ryotaro. Well, Ryotaro is gonna be in the next episode where we're gonna talk more about his favorite things in Japan, his recommendations, a bit more of a intense Q&A. And today was more sort of to hear your origin story,
introduction.
Yes, yeah, so now we know. The story behind Ryotaro is basically he watched Footloose and that defined his entire career. Ridiculous story. Bloody hell.
And the secret of my success.
It's interesting how like pop culture can affect people's lives so much. Like Natsuki, for example, listened to punk rock and that shaped his personality and who he became.
True. I mean, back in the 80s, right? Or 90s even, those like pop culture, like including, you know, movies and stuff and music and everything, was so strong. Like it influenced a lot of people. I mean, there was no internet, right? So that was like the only music and movies were the only means of kind of inhaling the Western culture, especially for Japanese people, I guess.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I'm gonna go away and watch Footloose after this.
Yeah,
I'm not though, am I? I don't think I've ever seen Footloose. I find the song Footloose really annoying.
Just watch it.
Footloose.
Yeah, Footloose.
Oh, God, I hate it. Don't know why.
The Sunday Shoes.
It's one of those films that didn't really make it past the 80s. Nobody talks about it.
Talk about it.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
You're the greatest advocate of Footloose there's ever
Kevin
been.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, God. But send in your questions for Ryotaro, guys, and I'll put them to the man himself next week. Thank you so much for joining, Ryotaro.
Thank you.
And welcome back for the next episode. But now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll be back later this week to do all over again, right back here with Ryotaro, Mr. Footloose himself, on the Abroad in Japan podcast.
So, guys, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, I will see you in next podcast.
Now I remember why we don't have it on the show.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.